For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. You're listening to the Vic Porcelli Show.
Hey, how you doing?
Made in St. Louis for St. Louis. It's News Talk STL.
Welcome home to 101.9 94.1 News Talk STL. I'm Vic Porcelli. That is Ken Williams. Our very special guest doesn't get more specialer than the former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. Mr. Speaker, it's an honor and a privilege to have you on. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, and it's great to have a chance to chat with you.
Yeah, we've been looking forward to this for a long time. So my first question is a little vague, Mr. Speaker, but do you think it's time for another contract with America?
Well, I think what the House Republicans have done in their commitment to America is very similar, but more sophisticated. If you go to commitmenttoamerica.com, you'll see a website that has over 150 specific positive solutions. And I think that's pretty amazing, and really it's something that I think Republicans can be proud of, and it gives you sort of a list of what they're going to do and a commitment they're making to do it. So in that sense, I think it's been a big asset to them at a time when Biden and the Democrats have been so negative and so hostile and have had nothing positive to say about any of the major issues like inflation or the economy or crime. Or the radicalism in our schools or the open borders. I think that the commitment to America is a good step in the right direction.
So commitmenttoamerica.com, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So we're not very nice to Democrats here on the show, Mr. Speaker. And when they come out and they say things like, the Democrat answer to inflation is to eat Chef Boyardee. How much more out of touch can they be? And by the way, condescending to us. What do they think we are?
I just tweeted about that because I said, so we've gone from a good healthy meal with Donald Trump to eating Chef Boyardee as our major source of food. And this tells you how nuts these people are. This was said by the head of the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee. So you would think that he had some kind of sense. But it's insulting to people. It tells you they don't have a clue about how to solve the inflation problem. And in the long run, it's not a survivable fix because, you know, if you're at Chef Boyardee this year and you had two or three more years of Democratic inflation, what would you eat then?
Yeah. And what happened to it's the economy, stupid? Didn't a Democrat say that?
Yeah, that's what's really funny is that James Carville, who originally wrote it for Bill Clinton, he must be sitting down there in Louisiana just thinking these guys are nuts.
All right, so there's already, we're very skeptical on the show, Mr. Speaker, about the Democrats. I feel like they do something, even if it's insignificant or something very big, to cheat, you know? And we're already hearing about possible problems with voting in Pennsylvania. Why can't they just get it right? And then when they call us an election denier, I like to say, well, prove to me that you're doing it straight. You can't give me any proof, any facts that you've run a free and fair election.
Well, you know, you look at a place like France or a place like Brazil, they have the election and it's all counted in one day.
Yep.
Or why can they get all of their votes for a national election counted in one day? You know, we're already being told in several states that it'll be days and days and days before we know. We're already being told, I think, in Pennsylvania, that they have a couple hundred thousand ballots out that nobody fully understands what's going on. And there's a place in Georgia, there's a county in Georgia that has totally screwed up its absentee ballots already. It shouldn't be that hard to have honest, accountable, and transparent elections.
I agree. And, you know, again, when we talk about free and fair elections, Kamala Harris, when she was in the Senate, we played the audio yesterday that said, we watched with our own eyes people easily hacking into voting machines. So what makes us think they're not doing that now?
Well, I'm very doubtful about the degree to which we've computerized the election system for that very reason. I use a smartphone, I use an iPad, and it's not that I'm against the modern world. But in some ways, I think an old-fashioned ballot where you actually had to have a photo ID and prove who you were was just a dramatically more honest system and harder to steal and harder to tamper with than what's going on right now.
Yep, I agree. You're talking to a radio station that's in a state that it's a law, state law, you have to have a voter ID. But Illinois, right next door, no voter ID law. It's all good. You can be anybody.
Well, but I mean, first of all, given the great track record in Chicago, it's very hard to have the dead with photo IDs. I mean, you would be biased against dead people voting in Chicago, and you know, imagine what a shock that would be.
Right, exactly right. All right, let's talk about energy. This country was, oh, by the way, we're talking to former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich, and it is an absolute honor and privilege to have him on the show. Energy independent just 2 years ago. Now we're on our knees begging OPEC to produce more oil. And even if you're the most left-wing loony bird, you're paying more for gas like everybody else. Why can't they see that that's a problem?
Well, because if you're a left-wing loony bird, you actually believe this is morally justified and a sacrifice you're making to save the planet. And, you know, you had Biden the other day say we got to get rid of coal. That got Senator Manchin all excited. And then apparently yesterday or Saturday he came out and said we should quit drilling. I mean, I'm working on a paper saying that there are two wings of the Democratic Party. There's a weird wing and an insane wing. And the idea that you're going to stop drilling, I mean, you have gasoline prices going up. We're dependent on Saudi Arabia, Russia, Iran, Venezuela, and they want to cut off American drilling. I mean, you know, even for a guy who has significant cognitive problems, that should have been pretty obvious.
Not to mention, he wants oil companies to start producing more oil to bring the gas down. How does he think that happens, you know? And by the way, if I'm an oil company, yeah, sure, no problem, Joe, I'll produce all this oil for you, and then just stick a rock in my eye because you're going to put us out of business with your electronic vehicles.
Yeah, well, plus he wants to have a excess profits tax, so he's saying to these guys, why don't you go out here and invest all of that money, knowing that the government's totally untrustworthy, and then I'm going to reserve the right to come and put you out of business after you've invested all that money. And I'm going to take away any profit you make, you know, but I really want you to go do that. Well, I mean, you have to wonder how much they are out of touch with reality.
Yeah. Well, seeing Joe Biden and John Fetterman on the stage at the same time, I'm like, oh my God, this is like a combined IQ of a parking meter. Okay. So the mainstream media, too. I've also been complaining a little bit, Mr. Speaker, that, and I know it's a fine line, and I don't want to trample on the First Amendment, but why can't there be any accountability about at least them being truthful about things and not showing a complete bias? For instance, this morning on the Today Show, they were talking about the Georgia Senate race, and Herschel Walker, he's got his problems, you know, domestic problems, but they never mentioned Raphael Warnock abusing his wife and running her foot over with a car. I mean, where's the accountability? Will it ever happen?
Well, not probably not. I mean, you know, the New York Times once got a Pulitzer Prize for a reporter in Moscow who systematically lied about the famine in Ukraine where Stalin probably killed 5 to 10 million people. They didn't get the Pulitzer Prize back. The Washington Post and the New York Times got Pulitzer Prizes for covering things that we now know were total lies put out by the FBI about Donald Trump. They haven't given their Pulitzer Prizes back. I think people have to learn that the concept of fake news is real. And if you're dealing with an institution which engages in fake news, just be aware of it.
Right. And there is fake news.
Don't believe them.
Yeah. And they don't want to admit it, but there is fake news out there. All right. Let's try to break down what's going to happen here. New Hampshire. What do you think about the results there? Are they going to be favorable for us?
Oh, I think we're going to win in New Hampshire. We're going to win a House seat. We're going to win a Senate seat.
Wow.
I think we're going to pick up a seat in Rhode Island. I think we're probably going to regain a seat in Maine. I think as you come down the coast, we'll probably pick up one seat in Connecticut. I think we're going to get 3 seats in New York. I'm not sure about New Jersey. I think we'll probably pick up one, but I'm not as sure there. I think in Pennsylvania, we'll pick up 2 or 3 House seats. I'm going with Kevin McCarthy this evening down to Hampton, Virginia, to campaign against a radical Democrat, and I think we're going to beat her. So we'll probably pick up either 2 or 3 seats in Virginia. I mean, as you go across the country, you're looking at, I think, winning 4 or 5 Senate races net plus, and I think you're looking at winning between 20 150 House races. So this is going to be quite an amazing night.
Absolutely. You mentioned Joe Manchin. He's stepped up to say that some of the Biden policies are terrible. And then people start to say, well, maybe Joe should come over to our side. Do you think Joe Manchin is a guy we can really trust to be a Republican and vote like a Republican?
Well, I mean, as much as Mitt Romney.
Well, then no. That answer's no.
I mean, look, I got to be Speaker in part because I understood that when you're putting together a majority, you know, the last four or five people may not be exactly who you want in life, but they give you the majority. So if Joe Manchin offered tomorrow morning to become a Republican, I'd say take him. You'll only get his vote 80 or 90% of the time, but if he votes to make you the majority leader and he votes to make the Republican chairman of every committee, that's a pretty big deal.
And I
feel the same way. I defend people who have more liberal voting records. Susan Collins of Maine is a good example. She's very, very reflective of Maine, which makes her a lot more liberal than most Republicans, but she makes us a majority. And she has guts, and when it mattered, for example, in deciding a Supreme Court justice under enormous pressure, she had the courage to do what she thought was right, and really made a difference historically. So, I'm not a purist. I don't think it, you know, that the only people you should allow in the club are people who are 100% you.
Right, and I mean Tulsi Gabbard has been. I mean, what a 180 she's made from being a Bernie supporter to, you know, actually campaigning for Republicans.
I think that I've known Tulsi a long time, and I've always known that. First of all, she marches to her own drummer. She's not intimidated by anybody. She thinks for herself, and I've been very proud of the way she's handled all this. And I keep telling people, what you're seeing, if this was like football or baseball, you know, we're swapping Liz Cheney for Tulsi Gabbard, and I think we win on that both ways.
All right. Hey, we know you have a new book out, Mr. Speaker, Defeating the Big Government Socialism. Can you give us about 30 seconds on that?
Sure. And I should also mention that I do a podcast called Newt's World.
I was going to get
there.
Where
we talk about these kind of ideas three times a week for free. People can go to Newt's World and get it. I wrote Defeating Big Government Socialism because I think it's not just about beating the personalities. We've got to beat the ideas. And big government socialism and wokeism just simply doesn't work.
Exactly right. You can buy that
book. I think that it's very important for us that we should look carefully at what's wrong with it. Why it did, you know, big government socialism didn't work in the Soviet Union. It didn't work in Venezuela. It didn't work in Zimbabwe. I know of no place on earth where it has worked. And the only time the Chinese began growing is when they began adopting capitalist ideas. I think it's important for us to make clear to people that this stuff just simply doesn't work.
Well, you know what? We miss you in government, Mr. Speaker, but it's great to see you on TV. It's great to hear you in a candid interview like this. We can't thank you enough for your time today. And let's move upward and onward, you know, onto the country the way it used to be.
Great talking with you.
Thank you so much.
Appreciate it.
Former Speaker of the House, Newt Gingrich. What an honor to have him on the show today on Election Day. Tonight, hopefully everything will go great. He'll be right. And we'll all be happy tomorrow. And by the way, all the election coverage you need is tonight starting at 7 o'clock. The great Tony Colombo and I will be anchoring here, and every single voice you hear on News Talk STL will be there contributing. So the coverage starts at 7 o'clock. We'll see you there. All right, it's Election Day. Don't know if Timmy fell in the well or not, but we'll find out. Gates McGavick joins us next on 101.9/94.1 News Talk STL. Welcome home.
For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.